hear the music. Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On behalf of everyone here, I'm sorry, I said Robinson Show. Forgive me. Welcome to an exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. Oh, forgive me, man. It's so much going on. Welcome to an edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. This is the first one of the year of 2021, and again, on behalf of everyone here at NFL Wrap-Up, I would like to send a special Happy New Year to you and yours on this eventful 2021. 2020 was a very strange and very awkward year, but we pray and hope that your 2021 will be much better. Coming up on this edition of the NFL Wrap-Up, we'll have a recap of Week 16's most important games. Also, we'll have a preview of Week 17's most important games. Also, we'll get you caught up on the NFL playoff picture. Also, a Week 17's broadcasting television schedule and more. That's all coming up right here on the NFL Wrap-Up. And let's get right to it. Let's start off with the recap of the most important games from Week 16 in the NFL. The San Francisco 49ers battled the Arizona Cardinals. It was a tight game through and through, but the 49ers had their way with the Cardinals. The 49ers would beat the Cardinals 20-12. In the first play, here's 49ers running back Jeff Wilson scoring a touchdown.
Broke a bone in his foot, but he's fully recovered.
Seventh play of the drive. Beathard over the middle, caught by Wilson at the 10, at the 5, and he goes in! Big play there! A 21-yard strike from Beathard to Wilson.
That was San Francisco 49ers running back Jeff Wilson getting a touchdown against the Arizona Cardinals. Also, the 49ers would add more scores as the 49ers would get two more touchdowns from fullback Kyle Juszczyk.
His third year with the 49ers, a play fake. It's Juszczyk at the 6. Juszczyk lunges. Did he get in? He did! Touchdown, San Francisco! Fifth touchdown of the year for Kyle Juszczyk, who earlier this week was named to his fifth consecutive Pro Bowl. And they're going quick on 4th and 2. They're already 3 for 3 on 4th down.
Clog up those run lanes for Murray.
Murray's pass is batted down by Warner. Fred Warner runs right over the sideline where Robert Saleh goes up high to greet him. 35. There goes Wilson again. Stays on his feet. Wilson inside the 10, and he is close to a touchdown. No signal yet.
That's so close, because if Wilson had been able to get that ball in his right arm, it would have been inside the pylon. But you judge it where he goes out across the bound.
They put it at the 1. First and goal for San Francisco. A play fake. Juszczyk's wide open, and there's the touchdown. The third touchdown pass today for C.J. Beathard.
So that was the highlights from the 49ers and Cardinals game. And the 49ers would go on to beat the Arizona Cardinals 20-12. Again, you heard Fred Warner making that key defensive play, and Jeff Wilson making his presence felt in that play to help Kyle Juszczyk get his second touchdown of the game. So definitely an interesting turn of events right there. That was a shocker for a lot of fans, because even I wasn't expecting the 49ers to come out and play the Cardinals as hard as they did. But they went out there, they handled their business, they got the job done, and definitely it was something to look for. Well, definitely it was a surprise to me, because I thought the Cardinals would have their way. Again, Kyler Murray suffered an injury right at the end of the game with his lower leg. He's expected to play in this weekend's game. We're going to get more into detail about that throughout the course of the show. But again, the final score, which was a surprise right there, the San Francisco 49ers would go on to beat the Arizona Cardinals 20-12. Right, the next game that we had was between the Miami Dolphins and the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, this was a close one right here. The Dolphins would go ahead to beat the Raiders 26-25, and here's how it ended.
So he's been productive when he's gotten it. It's not nearly as many times as he normally does. Carr pumps once, pumps again, extends the play. Derek Carr in that bad groin will loft it up for Aguilar. Makes the adjustment and the move. The veteran Aguilar weaving his way. He will go. Touchdown, Raiders. 5 to choose from on first down from the 41. It's Gaskin shedding a tackler. Miles Gaskin to the outside. Hits the sideline. And there he goes. Miles Gaskin. A foot race. A touchdown.
Up in your face, and we are going to challenge you defensively.
On second down, Carr given time, loads up, wants Aguilar again, behind the defense, can't get there but a flag. Take care of their own business.
But it is a...
On second and goal, Jacobs again, he will slide down to the one. Here we go, Carlson from 22 yards for the lead. Low snap, put down, he's got it. See if Fitzpatrick can pull a trick out. He got hit as he lofted it up. Boom, coverage! Mac Hollins is in bounds at the 41 for a face mask.
And you're playing cover two. You've been playing it all night long. You see the face mask right there, but you're playing cover two. Situational football. Did we not just talk about that? If you're the corner, don't worry about if they throw a flat in front of you. You've got to drop back and play soft.
He hits it right down the middle. And the Dolphins somehow, some way, take the lead with 1 second.
Allow that big play. Obviously, the penalty, it's hard to know something like that when you're just trying to get the quarterback. But to allow that big play and allow Miami to take the lead and probably get this victory, it's just unbelievable. I can't believe what I just saw.
What a crazy ending that was in that game between the Miami Dolphins and the Las Vegas Raiders to get a final score. Miami would win 26-25. But people are talking about the no-look pass from Ryan Fitzpatrick and making a great play right there from the quarterback to the receiver. Again, the highlight that you heard in the beginning was Nelson Aguilar getting that big touchdown from his quarterback, Derek Carr. But then when Miami got back on offense, Fitzpatrick with the amazing play, and then, of course, Miami seals the victory with the field goal. So Miami beat Las Vegas 26-25. Another game that was exciting at Three Rivers Stadium in downtown Pittsburgh between the Indianapolis Colts and the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was all Steelers. Well, actually, it was all Colts, but the Steelers would come back in the second half, and they would do damage in a big way as the Steelers would come from behind to beat the Colts 28-24. Matter of fact, here's the touchdown from Ben Roethlisberger to his wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster.
Blackhawk down to three. Ben beats it easily. Pump fake going down the middle. Ben! And it is caught for a touchdown! What a comeback! Juju Smith-Schuster puts the Steelers ahead.
And watch, 19 leads them all the way across and flying in there.
185 yards and their first lead.
All right, and that was the call from the NFL and on CBS with Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. And again, that was Ben Roethlisberger finding one of his big targets, wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster, for the touchdown. So the Steelers would go ahead to beat the Colts 28-24. That was in a game of two halves. In the first half, it was all Indianapolis in that game. They dominated with defense. They ran the ball pretty well. Phillip Rivers played consistent in the first half, but the second half, it just took a turn for the worse, and it became the Ben Roethlisberger show. It became Pittsburgh show again because Chase Claypool made great plays. They ran the ball effectively with James Conner. Also, Benny Snell made his contribution felt as well. And again, it was a tale of two halves in that contest, and definitely Pittsburgh came back and sealed the deal as they would go on to beat Indianapolis 28-24. I want to stay with Pittsburgh just for a moment. The AFC is quite interesting because we know Kansas City currently has the number one seed in the AFC. Now in the AFC now, Pittsburgh can still have a chance to possibly wrap up the number two seed. However, Buffalo owns the tiebreaker, and Buffalo has played tremendous. Buffalo has played some tremendous ball really all season long, so it's going to be interesting and see how this thing unfolds, how it all plays out, and, you know, things of that nature. And it's just an interesting thing. So, again, the Pittsburgh Steelers come from behind to beat the Indianapolis Colts. Final score, 28-24. All right, the next highlight that we have, well, not highlight, but again, the Carolina Panthers went to Washington, D.C. to play the Washington football team. It was all Panthers. Panthers would go on to beat Washington 20-13. All right, now let's get you caught up on another game that we had. It was the NFC East rivalry game between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Eagles hung with Dallas in the first half, but in the end, it was all Dallas Cowboys. Here's the highlight.
The offense is more efficient. He's taking less sacks and protecting the football.
Only four incompletions for Dalton today. 17-21. And he finds his man, C.D. Lamb, for a Cowboys touchdown. 52 yards from Dalton to Lamb.
Secondary. All first half, they baited the secondary by going and running these little underneath routes. And then all of a sudden, C.D. Lamb goes up and then shoots right up.
Yeah, that highlight was courtesy of the NFL and Fox Sports. And again, C.D. Lamb handled his business in that game, as well as the other wide receiver, Michael Gallup, and Ezekiel Elliott was effective. Andy Dalton had a great game as the Dallas Cowboys in the second half ran away with the half, and they ran away with the game as they would beat their NFC East rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, Cowboys beat the Eagles 37-17. On out to another rivalry game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks would beat the Rams convincingly 20-9. Here's another highlight from the game. Here's Russell Wilson throwing a touchdown.
And we'll see what Brian Schottenheimer has in store here on 3rd and 5. And they convert. Wilson, end zone, Hollister, touchdown! And that could be the knockout blow and the division winner right there. Another beautiful touch pass from Russell Wilson for 13 yards. And the touchdown to Jacob Hollister. Good design, man coverage. They run, you see the pick right there, just when he's got to come underneath and try to make a play on that, Hollister then has the angle. Fuller has to come underneath, and once he comes underneath, he's anticipating that Hollister's only going to get to the chains where the first down marker is. Otherwise, if you knew he was going deep, you'd go over the top. He's trying to guard against the easy completion for the first down. Instead, he gives up the touchdown.
That is a 9-play, 80-yard, 4-minute and 29-second drive that puts Seattle up 11 with 2:51 to go. Boy, that was impressive.
Yeah, it really was. I mean, here's the route. Now, if he comes over the top, he's not going to give up the touchdown. But instead, he comes underneath. And now with him going deep, now it's just a game of angles. And so he's beat. You see what I'm saying? If he's anticipating him going deep, he would have stayed over the top. Because you're anticipating those rubs when you're in man coverage. But he comes underneath because it was 3rd and short, and he's trying to guard against the first down, and instead it's a touchdown. It's an excellent call by Brian Schottenheimer.
I think there's a lot of mutual respect between those two guys.
All right, that audio is courtesy of Fox Sports. And once again, the final score, the Seattle Seahawks beat the Los Angeles Rams 20-9. Sunday Night Football was just it was all Green Bay. The Tennessee Titans battled the Green Bay Packers at a snowy Lambeau Field. And Green Bay, they displayed all areas of their game at a very high level, offense, defense, and special teams. And Aaron Rodgers did his thing as the Tennessee Titans would lose to the Green Bay Packers. Packers would win 40-14. Aaron Rodgers threw 4 touchdown passes in that game. Here's the highlight.
Of course, providing tremendous protection for Rodgers and paving the way for a good running attack. Rodgers first pass to the outside, and that'll be caught close to a first down. Devontae Adams is there. Play clock at 2. Rodgers slides to his left, throws. That's a first down and a little bit more. First and goal from the 5-yard line. Quick toss out to Adams, and Adams dives. Does he get in? He does. Touchdown. Second and 9, Rodgers slides away, has room, exploits that, nice gain. 3rd and 1 as we start the second quarter from the 21-yard line. Dillon stays in, the play fake to him, and then Rodgers will go for the touchdown and does! Packers want to make sure the road to the Super Bowl comes through Lambeau. And the throw into the end zone is pulled in by Adams for the touchdown. Rodgers thrown for 3 touchdowns already. off the face. Look at that protection. Fires. Caught. Adams, another great night for him. Second and one. Going away. Eyes downfield. Looking to fling it. Can't yet. Extends the play forever and ever. And fakes it. Steps out of bounds with 8 seconds. So you got second down and goal. So a gigantic break for the Packers. Second down and goal now. Play action. Rodgers looking for his fourth touchdown pass of the night. Gets it. Get the bye week. And have the road to the Super Bowl come through here. Rodgers. Adams. 38-yard line and a first down. Coming. Rodgers fires, and that is a fantastic pass by Adams. Another one.
All right, and that audio was courtesy of NBC Sports with Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on Sunday Night Football. And Aaron Rodgers throws four touchdown passes in that contest as the Green Bay Packers beat the Tennessee Titans 40-14. And then on Monday Night Football, there was another rivalry game in the AFC East between the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots, and Buffalo handled New England. They beat New England 38-9. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs, the future is bright in Buffalo. I mentioned earlier about Buffalo and Pittsburgh jockeying for position for that number two spot. We'll see what happens. We'll preview it later on in the program, but here's a highlight for Stephon from Stephon Diggs. He had three touchdowns in the game.
Second down and 10. Allen again, all sorts of protection. And finds Stephon Diggs in a soft spot.
Stephon Diggs walking across the field. J.C. Jackson is expecting to trade this off as far as the crosses are concerned, or he almost gets picked. And that just creates the separation coming across the field. When you play a lot of man-to-man coverage and teams run second-level crossers, you have to be smart about how you work.
Off the play action. Allen hit as he throws, able to complete it. Diggs, and taillights time. Diggs is looking back. Touchdown.
Right here, he's going to run the post, and then he's going to come over top with Stephon Diggs. Watch Josh Allen. He wants to throw the ball deep on the post. It's not there, and he comes back. Well read by Josh Allen.
And Diggs will do the rest. Quick toss to Diggs. Got a blocker in front. 534 yards of total offense by this Dable-led squad a week ago. Here's Diggs.
Because when they're just kind of pitching the ball out here like this and then letting their playmakers just create an open field, I mean, it wears you out defensively to be running from sideline to sideline to sideline like this. And if they go ahead and punch this ball in here.
At the New England 18 on first down and 10. Continue to throw, continue to complete. It's Diggs, stays on his feet.
This is a situation where you're going to see Stephon Diggs right here. This is a situation where the wide receiver would just get blown up. And here, you see the safety doesn't put a good hit on him.
Up 17 points in the third quarter.
That allowed Pittsburgh to keep the pressure on Buffalo. Here's Allen. It's Diggs.
McCourty's here on the outside playing with his hips open, really bailing for the nine route, the go route, wants to protect against the deep stuff. And you just see the Stephon just puts on the brakes.
As we open up the fourth quarter, here's Allen. Running away from Winovich and throws, able to hit. It's Stephon.
Watch this throw, Levy. I want to see if you could make this throw.
I'll give.
Rolling to your right.
Which way do you think he went?
Well, from right here now, they tell you, don't throw the ball
cross
back into the middle of the field, right? But he's got the arm strength and the accuracy to do things like that. And
obviously, New England made one there.
Beasley hasn't been much of a factor yet tonight. Here's Allen. Being chased and throwing.
Oh,
and in it.
Listen, we'll see this from time to time from Patrick Mahomes. They want the defense to think, I'm going to throw the ball to Beasley, but I'm going to come back on the backside to Diggs. It was designed to go to him the entire time. They just want to buy time, and then how similar does that throw look to what Patrick Mahomes did 2 weeks ago?
The ability to get your hips flipped so you can get squared up and throw that ball.
So again, that audio is courtesy of ESPN's Monday Night Football. The final score, the Buffalo Bills beating the New England Patriots 38-9. And those were your most important games from Week 16 in the National Football League. All right, now it's time for my top three storylines. My first storyline is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs, their number was had for a moment when they played the Atlanta Falcons. But Patrick Mahomes worked his magic along with his other teammates. They came from behind. They would get the victory. But the Falcons, being the Falcons as usual, they fell just a little short.
And Koo is up, and he is no good! He sliced it!
Again, that audio courtesy of Fox Sports, and that was Atlanta Falcons kicker Younghoe Koo missing the game-tying field goal to send the game into overtime, and the Chiefs survived that one, beating the Falcons 17-14. So the Kansas City Chiefs, they lock up the AFC. They are the number one seed. They get home field advantage throughout the playoffs on the AFC side. So Kansas City, we know that Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey and a lot of their starters plan to rest for the Week 17 regular season finale, and they're going to need their rest because the Chiefs, let's face it, for what I've seen the last several weeks, they can be had. They can be had. Earlier in the year, it looked as though Pittsburgh was their closest competition because they had the undefeated streak going. Pittsburgh still has a chance to take Kansas City, but you need to watch out for the Buffalo team has an opportunity to take down the Kansas City Chiefs. In on the AFC side, Buffalo has the best chance of doing it. Buffalo can match Kansas City in terms of defensive strategy. I think Buffalo's defense is better than Kansas City. Now, Kansas City has the more skilled players on offense, but I think defense and running the ball, I think Buffalo is more skilled in that department. Josh Allen is a nice quarterback, but Mahomes has the goods. Patrick's got the goods, so we're not going to debate that, but we'll get more into Buffalo in just a moment. But as far as the Kansas City Chiefs are concerned, they wrap up home field throughout the playoffs again for the second year in a row, and they're going to need it. They're going to need that rest because, you know, when you've played so well all season long and have been consistent for so long for a lengthy period of time, you've got to rest your guys to have them ready for that postseason run. So congratulations again to Andy Reid and his coaching staff, as well as Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and the rest of the squad with the Kansas City Chiefs securing the number one seed in the AFC and locking up home field advantage. My second storyline is going to be the team I mentioned earlier, the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo, they are the second best team in the AFC right now. They have the best chance of knocking Kansas City off of the throne. Buffalo is a team that they play like they have the makeup. They don't need to be playing out in Western New York. They don't need to be in Buffalo or Orchard Park to grab a victory. They can go to Kansas City. They can go to Pittsburgh. They can go to Baltimore or New England or Miami and any of these places and snatch a victory. Josh Allen in year three, the arm strength is there, but that accuracy has improved tremendously. Stephon Diggs was probably the second biggest steal during this past NFL offseason. The big steal was DeAndre Hopkins being traded from Houston to Arizona, and the second best acquisition of the offseason, this past offseason, was Stephon Diggs being traded from Minnesota to Buffalo. Stephon Diggs' presence has paid off big dividends for Buffalo's offense, and as I mentioned with that other receiving core with John Brown, Cole Beasley, Dawson Knox, and a host of others that have a complimentary running game. So Buffalo has gotten better since Thanksgiving, really when the second half of the NFL season started. So Buffalo, if any team that would give Kansas City fits, it would be the Buffalo Bills. So Buffalo's playing well. It's nice to see Buffalo winning again. This excitement hasn't been felt since like the late 80s, between the late 80s and the mid 90s, when Jim Kelly and the crew and Thurman Thomas and Andre Reed, when they were in their heyday of winning games. And of course, we can't forget about 98, 99 when the Doug Flutie magic was there in Buffalo. So it's refreshing to see the Buffalo Bills winning again. And who knows what can happen, how their postseason run is going to take place. And for my third storyline, It's this.
Skip, they say that you can only do when people make your fund. Like, I'm going to give 110%, 120%, 1,000%. Well, considering that 100 is as high as you can go, he's 100% of the blame for what happens to Dwayne Haskins. Skip, we talked about it earlier segment, production and tolerance. As long as production is high, tolerance will be high. And then they will tolerate you until they can replace you. Dwayne Haskins did not build up the field cachet. He wasn't playing like Patrick Mahomes. He wasn't playing like Deshaun Watson to go and get caught in a misgiving like that. And I get it, Skip. Oh, he went number. But you have to understand where we are in 2020, today's society. With what's going on, that in and of itself, plus you couple the fact, man, my head coach just did 8 weeks of chemo. Man, his immune system. Man, I can't put him in a situation like that. My teammates are counting on me. That's why they say football is the hardest sport to win a championship, Skip, because one guy could upset, blow the whole thing up.
Yep.
So he's 100% responsible. And then the reports are coming out, his study habits, his practice habits, I've seen it before. Every coach I've ever had, from Dan Reeves to Wade Phillips to Mike Shanahan to Brian Billick, they all told us the same thing. Let us cut you. Don't you cut yourself. Skip out with a guy.
All right, that audio was courtesy of FS1, and that was Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless from the morning program, Undisputed, giving their take on Dwayne Haskins. And for my last storyline, it's going to be about Dwayne Haskins. 2 years. 2 years was the amount of years that Dwayne Haskins spent as the quarterback of the Washington football team. Dwayne Haskins, even when he made his arrival in 2019, as the quarterback for the Washington football team, there were questions about him as far as his work ethic was concerned. Did he really have the goods to play quarterback in the National Football League? He had the one fantastic season as the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes. And, you know, let's just be real. Daniel Snyder was swept off of his feet again. Dwayne Haskins is a local guy from the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. And it was Daniel Snyder's son that raved so much about Dwayne Haskins. He said, Dwayne is this, Dwayne is that, Dwayne is, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. And when Ron, we got to remember, when Dwayne Haskins was drafted, Ron Rivera had not gotten to Washington as of yet. When Ron Rivera became the head coach of Washington, that's when Washington pulled off the trade to get Kyle Allen to come to Washington, because Ron Rivera coached Kyle Allen with the Panthers. They had a pretty solid relationship, and he felt Kyle Allen was the one to run the offense. But Daniel Snyder, the owner, in most cases in professional sports, owners normally triumph most decisions. With that being said, Dwayne, let's go back for a moment. 2018, Alex Smith suffers the brutal injury. Takes him 2 years to return to the National Football League, enduring 17 surgeries. And then on top of that, Dwayne gets his opportunity to start some games last year. The promise was there. Anybody, you could ask me, and anybody could tell you how I was on the Dwayne Haskins train. I was a fan of his at Ohio State. We knew about the work ethic and things of that nature, but I felt he could get it done. I felt like he was professional and mature enough to make things happen. Okay, so 2019, before the game is over with, he takes selfies with fans. Case Keenum comes out there. It's like, well, there's only like 5 or 6 seconds left of the game. Case Keenum said, well, we'll do victory formation. We win the game. But that was just uncalled for. And then what was uncalled for, let's fast forward to 2020. Dwayne breaks COVID protocol not once but twice. And then you know your head coach went through chemotherapy, as Shannon Sharp mentioned earlier in that audio. It was atrocious. That was just atrocious, the way to handle that situation. You know, they say playing in the NFL is not a right, but it's a privilege. These are privileged athletes that have the opportunity to change lives forever, change their lives and change other people's lives. Generational wealth is real. It's a real thing in the NFL. If you're given the opportunity, you're blessed with the opportunity, it's not a right, it's a privilege to not just play in the National Football League, really to play professional sports, and you get paid a lucrative amount of – I mean, you're getting paid X amount of dollars, getting paid a lucrative amount of money. And to see somebody wasted like that is just terrible. No concern for your coach, no concern for your teammates or anybody in the organization. It's just atrocious. Now, a lot of people have beaten down and said Dwayne Haskins this, Dwayne Haskins that. I really hope he gets another opportunity in the National Football League. I'm a firm believer in not just second chances, but in multiple chances. And this could be nothing more than a teaching tool for him to learn how you are blessed with a gift that people would die for, people would kill for right now. Again, the National Football League of professional sports, when you're getting paid a high amount, a huge amount of money, it is not a right, but it's a privilege. They say the average, they say it's like less than 3% make it to the National Football League. Less than 3%. Dwayne Haskins was in the less than 3%. Now, his salary this year, he made $14.5 million in 2020. That's a substantial amount of money. A lot of people would like to have this money right now, considering where we are in our world right now in the midst of a pandemic. But as I said earlier, I'm a firm believer in not just second chances, but I'm a firm believer in multiple chances. And I hope and pray that Dwayne Haskins will end up on another NFL roster to get it right, to turn it around, and hopefully to prove people wrong. All right, those are my top three storylines. When we come back on NFL Wrap-Up, I'll recap, preview Week 17's most important games. There's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of twists and turns in this playoff standings, and also just weird and wacky stuff going on around the league in Week 17. I'm Ed Robinson. Thank you for listening, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
.145/92
.180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. At his tone.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to NFL Wrap-Up. All right, now it's time to preview Week 17's most important games. Let's start off with a showdown in the AFC East in Orchard Park, New York, between the Miami Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. Again, Miami coming off of a big win over the Las Vegas Raiders last week, and it helps them with their chances to get a playoff spot. They're going to need help, of course, and they're going up against a team that is red hot right now, one of the best in the NFL right now, the Buffalo Bills. Of course, Buffalo with Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, also John Brown, and there's Cole Beasley. A great tight end play with Dawson Knox. But one thing that really sets Buffalo apart, really, from Kansas City, who is ahead, who is at the top of the conference, is defense. Buffalo's got some great people with Ed Oliver, Jerry Hughes. There's also Tre'Davious White, and there's just a host of great, talented players on the defensive side for the Buffalo Bills. Miami's got a great running game. They've got Myles Gaskin, who's coming back from injury, and then the quarterback position, Ryan Fitzpatrick, came in and sealed the deal and was able to relieve Tua in his duties and towards the end of the game last week. So Tua is expected to be the starter for this game against the Buffalo Bills. Coach Brian Flores said that there's no need to worry because Tua is going to be the starter for this game against Buffalo. So here's how it works for Miami. Miami needs to can either win this. They need to beat Buffalo, or they need a Baltimore loss, or Cleveland could lose, or India, a Colts loss. So, again, in order for Miami to clinch a playoff spot, if they either need to get a win over Buffalo, or they would need either a Baltimore, a Cleveland, or an Indianapolis loss. So that's how that would work for Miami to get into the postseason, to get that playoff spot. Buffalo, they've clinched the AFC East. It's just going to be a matter of who will get the number two spot, or who will get the number two seed or the number three seed, either Buffalo or Berg. But right now, Buffalo currently has the number two seed because they own the tiebreaker. So this is going to be interesting how this thing unfolds between Miami and Buffalo. Should be a very exciting game. Next matchup that we have is the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cleveland Browns. Again, Pittsburgh, they've got a lot to play for because they're chasing Buffalo for that number two spot. So they're really rooting for Miami to beat Buffalo, and somehow maybe they could get that number two spot. But again, Buffalo owns the tiebreaker in that game. So it owns the tiebreaker because Buffalo beat Pittsburgh on the Sunday Night Football. So Pittsburgh, a lot has happened. Ben Roethlisberger will not play in the regular season finale. We've got Mason Rudolph will be the starting quarterback, and Joe Hayden will not play in this game. He tested positive for COVID-19. So the Steelers definitely shorthanded as far as the quarterback position, and one of their top DBs is going to be out. Top defensive backs is out due to COVID-19. So they're going up against a team that's hungry. The Cleveland Browns, they were embarrassed last week by the New York Jets, and Baker Mayfield said it was all on him. He said, man, it's all on me. So I know what I've got to do, and the Browns know what they need to do. They need to get a win. They have to get a win and they're going to need a win, and they're going to need some help in order to secure a playoff spot. So here's how it works for the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland, they need a win over Pittsburgh, or they need a Colts loss or a Tennessee loss, plus a Baltimore win, plus an Indianapolis win, plus a Miami win. So let me explain that one more time. In order for Cleveland, Pittsburgh, they're division champion. They've clinched the playoff berth. They have clinched the AFC North. Cleveland, they need to beat Pittsburgh. They need a win over Pittsburgh. If they don't get the win, they would need help from Indianapolis. They would have to get a Colts loss or a Tennessee loss, plus a Baltimore win, plus a Miami win as well. So there's so many scenarios taking place for Cleveland. So, again, Cleveland's going to need that win, and they're going to need a lot of help. And Definitely something to tune. I know the Browns, they played hard all season long, and definitely something they're gonna have to buckle down and go up against the team again. No Big Ben for Pittsburgh, but the Steelers are still gonna bring it. My next storyline is gonna be the Dallas Cowboys going up against the New York Giants. Dallas's offense was on fire last week in that victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. As for the New York Giants, the Giants suffered last week. They lost a tough one to the Baltimore Ravens. So now this is basically going to be a win and you're in, or a win and let's see type of situation. Ezekiel Elliott, Dallas's running back, all week long, he said he's been confident that the boys can do it. He says, we can do it. It doesn't matter what our record is. We still can hang with the best of them. And it's been a tough year for Dallas. Dallas, I mean, people have made a joke and said the NFC East, it's more like the NFC Least, because all of the teams have not played up to par. However, three of those teams in the division can still take it. So here's how it works for the NFC East. If Dallas wants to win the division and host a playoff game, Dallas, they have to beat the Giants, and they need Washington to lose on Sunday night against Philadelphia. Again, Dallas beats the Giants, and Washington loses. Dallas wins the NFC East, and they host a playoff game. Now, the Giants, if the Giants beat the Cowboys and Washington loses, the Giants will win the NFC East, and they will host the playoff game. Very interesting scenario in the NFC East. I tell you what, that's going to be a rock'em sock'em game. It's always been a rock'em sock'em game in that rivalry with the Cowboys and the Giants. So the next game that we have is the Arizona Cardinals going up against the Los Angeles Rams. Again, the Cardinals lost a tough game, a tough divisional game last week against the San Francisco 49ers. Kyler Murray suffered an injury, a lower leg injury in that game. He is expected to play in the finale against the Los Angeles Rams. So both teams, there's a lot at stake with this contest. Now, Los Angeles Rams quarterback Jared Goff suffered an injury game against Seattle last week. He's going to have thumb surgery. We don't know if it's season ending. We don't know, but he will not play in this weekend's game against the Cardinals. So no Jared Goff and Cam Akers. As far as the Rams running game is concerned, Darrell Henderson Jr. is injured. Cam Akers, his ankle is questionable. But the Rams are confident that their quarterback can get the job done. Robert Woods said this whole week, he said, I'm confident in my quarterback. We can get it done. We'll be ready to go. We know the Rams defensively are going to be ready to go, but offensively, can they put it together? And also, they're missing a key component to their offense. Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp tested positive for COVID-19, so he's out for this game. Now, again, another playoff scenario for both the Rams and the Cardinals. For the Cardinals, it's simple. The Cardinals can clinch a playoff spot with a win. All they have to do is beat the Rams, and they're in. That's for the Cardinals. Now, the Rams, they beat the Cardinals. If the Rams get a win over the Cardinals, they're in. Now, if the Rams lose to the Cardinals and they get a loss, and if they get a Chicago Bears loss to the Green Bay Packers, the Rams are in. So let me repeat that one more time. The Cardinals can clinch a playoff spot with a win over the Rams. The Rams can clinch a playoff spot with a win over the Cardinals or a Chicago Bears loss. That's how that works in that playoff scenario with the Rams and the Cardinals. Next game that we'll preview will be the Green Bay Packers going up against the Chicago Bears. The NFC 1, 2, and 3, it's still fascinating because it's still like a revolving door, so to speak, for those three spots. Green Bay is currently the number one seed in the NFC. Green Bay is number one. The New Orleans Saints are number two, and the Seattle Seahawks are number three. Green Bay is number one. Green Bay has the better record than the Saints, and Green Bay currently owns the tiebreaker. over the Saints because Green Bay beat the Saints earlier this season on Sunday Night Football. So Green Bay 1, New Orleans 2, Seattle 3. Here's how it works. Green Bay, they beat Chicago. They get the number one seed. They lock up home field throughout the playoffs. Game, set, match for Green Bay. Because after all, you know, nobody wants to go to Green Bay in January. But it happens. So here's how the playoff scenario works for home field advantage in the NFC. Green Bay, they can clinch two ways, with a victory over Chicago or a loss to Seattle. That's how that works. Now, as for the Chicago Bears are concerned, the Bears can secure a playoff spot two ways. Number one, they can clinch with the victory over Green Bay or an Arizona loss. So if Chicago loses to Green Bay, there's still hope that they can get into the playoffs, but they would have to root for the Rams to beat the Cardinals. So that's how that scenario would work. And there's so many different playoff scenarios and how people are trying to gain not just wild card spots, but home field is still up for play in the NFC. So this is definitely something interesting to pay attention to. Next up, we have the New Orleans Saints going up against the Carolina Panthers. Of course, a developing story that just happened. Of course, Alvin Kamara tested positive for COVID-19. He's out for this game. So the Saints still have Drew Brees. They still have Emmanuel Sanders. They won't have Josh Hill, their blocking tight end. He is out, and Marcus Williams is going to be out as well. But this is an important game for the Saints because the Saints are currently the number two seed, but the Saints could still get home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So if Green Bay can't get home field to come through Lambeau Field, I know New Orleans Saints fans would love to have home field advantage come through New Orleans and have the NFC decided at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. So here's how it works. For the New Orleans Saints to clinch home field throughout the NFC playoffs, they have to beat Carolina. Plus, Green Bay has to lose and Seattle has to win. Again, if the Saints want to clinch home field advantage, two things have to happen. Number one, they have to beat Carolina. Number two, Green Bay has to lose. And number three, Seattle has to win. That's the playoff scenario for the Saints if they want to clinch home field throughout the playoffs in the NFC. Next storyline, the Seattle Seahawks going up against the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are basically rebuilding. They're done. Their season's done, and they're looking ahead to the 2021 NFL season. But again, Seattle, similar situation to Green Bay in New Orleans. Green Bay, they want home field to come through Lambeau Field. New Orleans, they want home field to come through the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. But let's not forget about the team in the Pacific Northwest, the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle, they want home field advantage. Three things have to happen for them to get home field. Number one, they have to get a win. Number two, they have to get a loss from the Saints, plus a loss from the Green Bay Packers. Again, three things have to happen for the Seahawks to clinch home field advantage. Number one, they have to beat San Francisco. Plus, they have to have a New Orleans loss, and also they have to have a Green Bay loss. So three things have to happen. So again, well, I'll explain all of the playoff scenarios a little bit later on in the show because, again, it's kind of confusing, but we can unpack it and we can do what we need to do in order to make sure you, the listeners out there, get to know what's going on. And finally, the last important game of Week 17, the Washington football team will go up against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles had a chance to vie for a playoff spot. They lost to the Dallas Cowboys. Their season is over with, and they're headed to 2021. So now, here's how it works for the Washington football team. In order for the Washington football team to win the NFC East and to host a home wild card playoff game, they need to do one thing and one thing only. They can clinch with a win. All they have to do is beat the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Washington football team will win the NFC East and they will host a wild card playoff game. So now with the Washington football team, of course, it's been a wild and wacky last 3 weeks. Dwayne Haskins, we know what happened to him being at the strip club, not wearing a mask. Then he was released from the team. And so now the quarterback situation is not in limbo right now. Alex Smith, his condition has improved. He may start for this game, but they also have Taylor Heinicke, who could possibly be the starter for Sunday's game. But I think Alex Smith is gonna be the one to start for the Washington football team. I think Ron Rivera is leaning more towards him. He likes Alex and the way he's progressed last week's game due to a calf strain, but I think they're going to need him. He's their most experienced quarterback. They're going to need him. He's had this playoff experience before, so looks like they're going to roll the dice and start Alex Smith for this Sunday night matchup. This is the flex game between Washington and Philly, so definitely there's so many scenarios that are happening in this game, but Washington, they have it easy. All they have to do is beat Philly. They're in it, and they will host a wild card playoff game on the following weekend. All right, coming up next, I'll have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson. Thank you so much for tuning in, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
.145/92 .180/111 .182/100
And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
When it comes to our children and families, we do everything we can to play it safe. Did you know? The single best way to help safeguard from flu and reduce the spread of the flu virus is through annual vaccination. Families Fighting Flu is devoted to protecting your family against this serious and potentially deadly disease. Our commitment comes from our organization's personal experiences. I lost my 5-year-old healthy son, Joseph, to the flu. The flu poses a serious risk to everyone, from the young to the elderly. But we know that flu vaccines can save lives. Increasing the number of flu vaccinations by just 5% could prevent nearly 800,000 illnesses and 10,000 hospitalizations. Help keep your family and your community safe. Together, we can fight the flu. Get yourself and your family vaccinated this year and every year. For facts and tools, visit familiesfightingflu.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. All right, now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Washington football – I'm sorry. No, my game of the week is going to be the Green Bay Packers going up against the Chicago Bears. Now, Green Bay and Chicago, this is the oldest rivalry in the National Football League. We know the history of both of these franchises with Favre, Butkus, Sayers, Peyton, McMahon, Starr, Nitschke, Reggie White, the Sterling Sharp, the list, Aaron Rodgers, the list goes on and on and on. And we're going to unveil another chapter in this great rivalry between the Green Bay Packers and the Chicago Bears. Green Bay, they've got a lot to play for. They're going to come out hungry in this one. Green Bay, they're going to be playing for their injured star, offensive lineman David Bakhtiari, who is done for the year with a torn ACL. Bakhtiari suffered the injury in practice. I know Green Bay is emotional because they are a very close team, and David has been that anchor on the offensive line for a long time, and he's been protecting Aaron Rodgers' blind side. So Green Bay, they're going to come into this game with heavy hearts, and I know they're going to be playing for David. They've got a lot to play for in terms of him. And Chicago, they've been hot as of the last several weeks. Mitchell Trubisky, this is a contract year for him, so Mitchell definitely looks like he wants to stay in Chicago. And certainly, you know, his game has picked up lately, not just his game, but the running game with David Montgomery. He's played very well. So Chicago, of course, their MO for decades has always been defense, running the ball. And we've seen them pick up the defense and their running game lately. But Mitchell Trubisky has played some great ball as of late. He's gotten involved. He's displaying his arm strength and the athletic ability. He's played very well as of late. And he's got a tough task as the Bears will be at home at Soldier Field going up against their rival, the Green Bay Packers. Again, Green Bay's got a lot to play for. Aaron Rodgers, they want the number one seed. I mean, they've been running the ball well with Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams. A.J. Dillon played well in this past Sunday night's game against Tennessee. Defensively, Green Bay's played well overall. So this is going to be a game that matters to both teams. Green Bay, they want the home field advantage. They want those NFC teams to come to Lambeau and find out what playoff weather, football weather is like in January. Chicago, they just want to get in. They just want to get a playoff spot. They have a chance to get it done, and they want to get it done, but they got a tough task. But this is going to be a game that could come down to a touchdown. I expect a last-second touchdown to come out of this, or some type of four-quarter comeback. It's going to be a great one. It's always great between the Packers and the Bears. The Green Bay Packers against the Chicago Bears, my game of the week. Coming up next, I've got my we're going to predict this week's winners, and also we're going to close out the show, and I'll give you an update on the NFL playoff picture as well as Week 17's television schedule. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
There said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ache. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
At this point, education is the most important thing in your lives. The successes of tomorrow are built upon the actions of today.
So anyway, I looked the principal right in the eye. And all right, quit! So he says, I'm going to fail.
Ooh. I said, I flunked.
And then, I give him one of these.
Just one question, Mr. Leffler. One question.
Wait, 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 wait,
wait, wait, just one question. One question, Mr. Leffler. Just one question. Chaz, what are your plans for the future?
Education lets you live your dreams, so you don't have to dream your lives.
Tough it out. Stay in.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time for my picks for who will win this week's most important games for Week 16, the regular season finale in the NFL. All right, I have the Buffalo Bills beating the Miami Dolphins. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers to beat the Cleveland Browns. I like the Dallas Cowboys to beat the New York Giants. I like the Arizona Cardinals to beat the Los Angeles Rams. I like the Green Bay Packers to beat the Chicago Bears. I like the New Orleans Saints to take down the Carolina Panthers. The Seattle Seahawks will beat the San Francisco 49ers. And I like the Washington football team to beat Philadelphia. So here are my picks once again: Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Dallas, Arizona, Green Bay, New Orleans, Seattle, and Washington. So those are my picks for the most important games for Week 17 in the National Football League. Now, people are always confused about the playoff schedule. I mean, not with the playoff picture, I should say. So here is your recap, extensive recap of what's going on with the playoff picture in the NFL. All right, so here is the latest on the NFL playoff picture. As it stands right now, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC, they are the number one seed, and they have home field advantage throughout the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Buffalo Bills have the number two seed. They are the AFC East champion, and the Pittsburgh Steelers are the number three seed. They are the AFC North champion. So that's the status on that. The AFC South title remains at a for grabs right now. And as far as the NFC is concerned, again, Green Bay, New Orleans, and Seattle have all clinched their respective divisions. Green Bay has clinched the AFC North. Green Bay has clinched the NFC North. New Orleans has clinched the NFC South. Seattle has clinched the NFC West. And again, in the AFC, Kansas City has clinched the AFC West. Buffalo has clinched the AFC East. And Pittsburgh has clinched the AFC North. Now, as far as the NFC is concerned, the wild card race, Tampa Bay is the only team that has secured a wild card playoff spot in the NFC. So, again, your division champions in the AFC, the Chiefs with the AFC West, Buffalo with the AFC East, and Pittsburgh with the AFC North. Green Bay, NFC North, New Orleans, NFC South, and Seattle with the NFC West. All right, now here's how seeding scenarios would go. This is the race for the NFC wildcard spots for the Los Angeles Rams. They clinch with a win or a Chicago Bears loss. Again, NFC wildcard spots. Here's how it happens. The Los Angeles Rams can clinch with a win over the Arizona Cardinals or a Chicago Bears loss. Meanwhile, for the Chicago Bears, they can clinch with a win over the Green Bay Packers or an Arizona Cardinals loss. As for the Arizona Cardinals, they clinch a wild card spot with a win over the Rams. That's the scenario for the NFC wild card spots. Now, the race for the NFC home field throughout the playoffs, the Packers can do two things. They can get a win over the Green Bay Packers, or they can get a Seattle loss. The New Orleans Saints, they clinch with a win over the Carolina Panthers, plus a Green Bay loss, plus a Seattle win. And the Seattle Seahawks, they can clinch home field with a win, plus a New Orleans loss, plus a Green Bay loss. So again, this is how it works in the NFC home field. The Packers can clinch with either a win or a Seattle loss. The Saints can clinch with a win plus a Green Bay loss plus a Seattle win. And Seattle can clinch with a win plus a New Orleans loss plus a Green Bay loss. Now, for the NFC East title, here's how it works. The Washington football team, they get a win over the Philadelphia Eagles. They win the NFC East and they host the playoff game. However, if Dallas gets a win over the New York Giants plus the Washington loss, Dallas wins the NFC East. If the Giants beat Dallas plus a Washington loss, the Giants win the NFC East. It's just that simple. Again, Washington clinches with a win over Philly. Dallas clinches with a win plus a Washington loss. The Giants can clinch with a win plus a Washington loss. So that's how we stand in the NFC playoff picture. Now let's move over to the AFC. Here's how it works in the AFC. A little bit more complicated. Here we go. The Tennessee Titans, they can get a win, or they can get a Baltimore loss, or an Indianapolis loss, or a Miami loss. Again, in the AFC playoff picture for any of the wild card spots, if the Tennessee Titans, in order for them to clinch a playoff spot, they can get a win or a loss from Baltimore or an Indianapolis loss or a Miami loss. Meanwhile, for the Miami Dolphins, they can get a win or a Baltimore loss or a Cleveland loss or an Indianapolis loss. Again, Miami, they need to win or they can get a Baltimore loss or a Cleveland loss or an Indianapolis loss. Again, Miami, simple. They got to get a win, and they can get a loss from either Baltimore, Cleveland, or Indianapolis. Let's move along now to Baltimore. Baltimore, they need to win, and they can get either a loss from Cleveland or a loss from Indianapolis. Cleveland, they're going to need a lot of help. Cleveland needs a win, or they can get either an Indianapolis loss or a Tennessee loss, plus a Baltimore win, plus an Indianapolis win, plus a Miami win. So, again, here's how it works. Baltimore, they need a win or a Cleveland loss or an Indianapolis loss. Cleveland, it's more complex. They can either get a win or an Indianapolis loss or a Tennessee loss plus a Baltimore win plus an Indianapolis win plus a Miami win. That's the scenario for Cleveland. Now, for Indianapolis, they have to get a win and a Tennessee loss, a Baltimore loss, a Cleveland loss, and a Miami loss. Any one of those followings. So again, Indianapolis, they need to get a win and either one of the following, either a loss from Tennessee, Baltimore, Cleveland, or Miami. That's how it works for a wild card spot for Indianapolis. Now, in the AFC South, this is how it would work. Tennessee can clinch with a win or a Colts loss. Indianapolis, they can clinch with a win plus a Tennessee loss. So Tennessee can either get a win or they can get a Colts loss, whichever one, and they would win the AFC South. For the Indianapolis Colts, they can clinch with a win plus a Tennessee loss, and that's the race for the AFC South title. So I hope that helped out. Again, if there's so many playoff scenarios that come into that have come into play in Week 17 in the National Football League. All right, so now let's get you caught up on your Week 17 broadcasting schedule, starting off with your 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Central Time games. Miami will play Buffalo. That game will be on CBS. We've got Baltimore and Cincinnati. That game will also be on CBS. Pittsburgh and Cleveland will be on CBS. And then we got Miami and Detroit will be on Fox. The Jets and the Patriots, that game will be on CBS. Cowboys and the Giants and the Falcons and the Buccaneers, those games will be on Fox. And then the 4:25 Eastern through 3:25 p.m. Central Time games, Packers and Bears, that game will be on Fox. Raiders, Broncos, that game will be on CBS. Jaguars and Colts, that game will be on CBS as well. The Chargers and the Chiefs will be on Fox. Cardinals and the Rams will be on CBS. Then you've got the Seahawks and the 49ers will be on Fox. The Saints and the Panthers will be on Fox. The Titans and the Texans will be on CBS. And then the 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 7:20 p.m. Central Time kickoff between the Washington football team and the Philadelphia Eagles. That is the flex game, and that game will be seen on NBC Sunday Night Football. So that is your playoff scenarios and your Week 17 broadcaster schedules. A lot to unpack. So, you know, again, it's a lot to unpack. So just enjoy the games and enjoy the scenarios that come with it. So, again, before we get on out of here, New Orleans Saints running back Alvin Kamara, Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback Joe Hayden, and also Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Cooper Kupp had tested positive for COVID-19, and they're expected to miss the games on Sunday. Also, Green Bay Packers offensive lineman David Bakhtiari will be out for the remainder of the season. He tore his ACL in practice and is expected currently to get ready for 2021. And finally, Hall of Fame running back Floyd Little has passed away at the age of 78. Floyd was an All-American at Syracuse University and also played for the Denver Broncos. So again, our condolences are with Floyd and his family. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. I'm your host, Ed Robinson, and thank you again for 2020 was a hellacious year, to say the least, but again, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for supporting the movement. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you continue to do to support this great program, and I look forward to not only entertaining you, but to look forward to informing you about all the latest happenings and what's going on in the National Football League. And again, That's going to wrap it up for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And once again, on behalf of everyone, I'd like to wish you and yours a very happy new year. And we'll talk to you again next week right here for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. So long, everyone.